Good morning. Glad to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day, and I'd like to welcome any guests. Glad to have you. We see here in John chapter 5, it places us at the pool of Bethsaida in Jerusalem. Around the pool were many who were sick, lame, withered. But among them was one man who had been in this condition for 38 years. 38 years. But then Jesus comes to him on this fateful day. And he asks a simple question. Do you want to be healed? This question reaches deeper than physical healing. It forces a man to look honestly at his condition, his desire, and his willingness to respond to the word of Christ. In the same way, today, Christ asks every sinner a serious question. Do you truly want to be made whole? Do you truly want to be healed? Do you truly want to be saved? And so who really sees our condition? Well, Jesus sees our condition. As we see in John chapter 5, verse 6, of course, he sees this man's condition. He knows the condition he's in. And of course, everyone around him, they know he's there, why he's there. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are uncovered and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we have an account to give. We may hide our condition, our spiritual condition from others. I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in my heart. But there's one who sees all, who sees very clearly, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus saw the man's helplessness. He knew the man could not walk. He knew the man was stepped over. Nobody helped him to the pool. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus sees our helplessness. He saw our helplessness. Sin is not merely weakness. It is a separation from God. As we look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. We need to understand we were in a helpless state. We could not save ourselves by good intention, sincerity, family background, or personal effort. There was nothing we could do. We were helpless. And that is why our wonderful and perfect Master sent his only Son to die for us. Christ saw our condition and knew we could do nothing. And so what did he do? He brought the solution himself to die for us. Jesus sees us before we come to him. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Guess what? We didn't make the first move. Man did not make the first move. Christ did. That shows the type of love he had for us. Even when we were in this helpless, lost state, nothing that could be done, he made that first move to come and to die. This is an important truth. Jesus came to the man before the man came to Jesus. Christ saw our lost condition and came to provide salvation. So that's the first thing we need to understand. And when we look at this man, Jesus already knew. Jesus saw his condition clearly. And even the condition of his soul. And so, the second question, who knows? Well, of course, Jesus knows how long we have been in that helpless state. He knows how long. We see here that he knew the man had been there for 38 years. He has been in this condition for 38 years. Let me stop throwing stuff up here. 38 years. It wasn't temporary. It shaped his entire life. Can you imagine not being able to walk? Not being able to do things that you should, that every normal person can do. I can only imagine the pain that he felt. And not just physical, but mentally and emotionally. And Jesus knew that. The Lord knows our history. He knows how long a person has been living in sin. He knows it all. Long-term spiritual sickness can feel normal. And I'm sure this man, at some point, woke up and it was no surprise. I can't walk. There were people, it became a part of them. It became normal to them. Guess what? Sin can be the same way. Eventually, we reach a state where it just feels normal. We wake up and we go do it. It's a part of our life. It's grown roots into our life. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. A person can get used to missing worship, neglecting prayer, worldly language, bitterness, and to sin. It can and will become normal, a part of your routine, if we allow it to. Sin hardens, it deceives, it convinces people that they are fine when they are not. And guess what? Time doesn't make it less serious. Over time, it doesn't make it less serious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But notice, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Sometimes people think this way. I have lived this way for so long, there is no changing now. Well, I got news for people who have this same thought. As long as you wake up every morning and you breathe that first breath of air, God is giving you another day to do right, to make things right with him. The only time it's too late is either when you die or Christ comes back. And that could be at any time, any moment. Jesus didn't look at this man and say, it's too late. He never said that to this man. We need to understand the power of Christ is greater than the length of any problem. Third, what does he ask? Well, here we see he asks a personal question. And the question required honesty. Do you wish to get well? Do you wish to get well? Because guess what this question does? It removes excuses. It brings the matter directly to the heart. This man couldn't offer up excuses after this question. Many people want relief from consequences, but not deliverance from sin. We have people with those mindsets that they want to remain in sin, but not have the consequences. Well, guess what? It has consequences. Very terrible consequences. We are talking eternal punishment, separation, eternal separation from God and from his glory, as we see in Revelation 22. That is beyond terrifying. Because as we sit here today, we are in the presence of God. Every day we go out into His creation, His presence fills this entire earth. But there will be a day when those who continue in sin will be separated eternally from that presence. And so this question exposed desire. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Spiritual healing requires recognizing the need. We must come to a point where we recognize, I need help. I need spiritual healing. The gospel, the very book we have before us today, is for those who realize they are lost and they desire the righteousness of God. That desire, that word desire, is a very strong word, a very big word, because if the heart is hardened, if the heart doesn't want something, you're not going to pursue it. You're not wanting anything to do with it. It comes down to desire. Do we desire Christ? Great. This is what you need to do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we see the desire of the people here. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brothers, what should we do? Notice, they were pierced to the heart. Peter had preached a very powerful sermon here, and it moved them. It convicted them. They were pierced to the heart. And what did they do? Their desire drove them to ask, what must we do? And we see, of course, in Acts 2:38, Peter tells them, repent and be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized. This is the language of people who understand their condition and desire to be made right. But this question still applies to today. To the sinner, Christ asked, do you want to be saved? To the unfaithful Christian, Christ asks, do you want to be restored? To the discouraged Christian, Christ asks, do you want to rise again? To the lukewarm Christian, Christ asks, do you want to be spiritually alive? These questions are still asked today. Christ still asked, while we have time, are we going to see and answer and desire to be made right, to be made alive again in Jesus Christ? Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes receive the water of life without cost. As we sit here, breathe this fresh air. As we go about the rest of our day, Lord willing, He doesn't come back. Lord willing, we still have time because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised 5 minutes from now. These are questions we need to answer. We need to desire to want to be spiritually healed. The invitation is always open. And so, we need to realize excuses cannot heal us. In John chapter 5, verse 7, this man focused on his limitations. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. It's true that for 38 years he didn't have a man to take him to this pool where the angels came and stirred, and when you get into it, you're healed. Yeah, he had no man. But here's the truth. Jesus was standing before him, the very one, the Son of God, who could fix his issue. Many people today do the same thing spiritually. They focus on what they cannot do, what others have done, or what circumstances are against them. We focus on all the wrong things. And a lot of times that drives us to limit God and what He can do for us. But here's the truth. God is bigger than all those things. He is able to save you, to restore you, to take away your sins. Christ was that ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And through his blood, you can be healed spiritually. These struggles can be real, but none of them are stronger than Christ. Excuses can keep people where they are in Luke chapter 14, verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. I ask you, consider me excused. The man had a reason for why he remained there. Spiritually, excuses often become chains. Those chains hold you down. Those chains will keep you from truly seeking Christ and seeking the healing you want spiritually. Whatever those chains are, whatever excuses they are, I can tell you now, there are no excuses that God will accept on the day of judgment. The excuses do not remove responsibility. They only delay obedience. We must stop looking to the wrong source. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. What was this man depending on? Getting in that pool to be healed. While healing is standing right in front of him. Jesus Christ. Today, people often look to the wrong source for spiritual weakness. Self-help. I'm sure you've seen all the self-help books that many authors write. Emotions, tradition, denominational teaching, or human wisdom. And let me tell you something. All these things include human wisdom. But human wisdom cannot begin to even come close to the wisdom of God. People do struggle with depression. People do struggle with mental illness. People do struggle with sin. It's part of human nature. And yes, I'm not against. I've told people in the past who have told me, I struggle deeply with depression. I've even had suicidal thoughts. Go get medicated. There's nothing wrong with that. But also, don't forget God. For in Him, that's where we find true strength, true peace, true hope. In a world that's full of darkness, a world that is broken beyond repair because of us and sin, most importantly. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven in which we can find salvation. In no man, I don't care what seat of power they're in, they're not going to save us. Only Christ can. And so, what does healing require? Well, it requires obedient faith. Jesus gives a command here to this man. John chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. He didn't just merely offer sympathy, he commanded action. The blessings came when he responded to the word of Christ. Notice that. When Christ told him to do this, what did he do? He picked up his mat and walked. Now, you could ask the question, what would have happened if he wouldn't have done as Christ said? Do you think there would be healing? No. Faith obeys the word of Christ. James chapter 2, verse 17, even so, faith, if it has no works, it's dead by itself. Biblical faith is not mere mental agreement. It trusts God enough to obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. obedient faith receives what God graciously offers. God does offer salvation through his Son, but it's on us to obey. It's on us to answer and receive it. Guess what? This is how one receives salvation. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. One must hear the gospel. And once one hears the gospel, in John chapter 8, verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Once we have heard the gospel, we must believe that very word, the very gospel. Without believing, nothing can be done. Unbelief is one sin that we cannot be forgiven of. We need to realize that. But then, in Acts 17, verse 30, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now commanding men that everyone, everywhere should repent. One must repent. One must change. Change our minds, our hearts, and turn back to God. That's what repentance is. And then, in Romans 10:10, for with the heart a person believes, leading to righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, leading to salvation. One must confess Christ, meaning we are not called to be ashamed of Christ. We are to confess him before man, not deny him. But then, Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. One must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Mark 16:15-16, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. We see in places like 1 Peter 3:21, now corresponding to this, baptism now saves you. As well as in Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We also see in Romans chapter 6, Paul telling them what baptism is. And this is what baptism is. You are being buried with Christ. Your old self being put to death. Your old self that was lost, that was chained by sin. The truth has set you free. And God washes you with the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ washes over you, making you white as snow. When you raise out of that water, now you are walking in newness of life. Your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. You have been set free. But of course, it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23. That's where the journey begins. At that point, you have been spiritually healed. You have been saved. You have received salvation. And this is not salvation by human merit like so many false teachers teach. It is what God has commanded us to do. And it's up to us. That desire must be there to obey what he has commanded. This is salvation by grace through obedient faith. This is what it looks like. Baptism alone won't save you. Faith alone will not save you. Faith plus obedience. They all work together. And without just one of them, you are not going to be saved. We must fully embrace what God has commanded us this morning. So if you're here this morning and you want to be spiritually healed, this is what you need to do. You need to decide this morning and desire to want to be saved. But it is not simply just asking God into your heart, saying a specific prayer. First, we need to understand, we need to hear and believe the gospel. Then we need to repent and confess our faith in Christ. Then we are to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And then at that point, we have received salvation. But then we must remain faithful on this journey, meaning we are to every single day live obediently, live faithfully to God and what He has commanded us to do. If you're here this morning and you want to be saved, you want to receive this gift of salvation, that's what you must do, and I pray that you do so. Or if you have gone astray, you're struggling with sin, now's the time to come forward, to repent, and to seek help. Let the church help you this morning. We love you, and we desire you to be with us one day in heaven for eternity. That's what we desire. And so this morning, if there's anyone who needs any assistance, I pray that you come as we stand and as we sing.